You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today on the Gooligans, in the first segment, we talk the World Cup. We also talk about terrorism. Sadly, that we got very serious very quickly. But that, you know, it came up, so we talked about it. Also, MLS, a lot of hot games, and no explosion puns, I promise.
Yeah, no, by the way, that terrorism is not what Juventus did to Barcelona. In the second segment, we talked to Alicia Rose Delgado, absolutely amazing Orlando Sentinel reporter. She covers Orlando City. We talk about Orlando City. We talk about Orlando Pride. We talk Orlando as a city. And we talk about Jimmy John's sandwiches, believe it or not.
Look, everything's in there.
Yeah, that and more on this episode of the Cooligans.
Hey guys, it's Juan Agudelo, New England Revolution's forward and U.S. Men's National Team forward, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
Yeah, baby.
What's up, guys?
Cooligans.
The Cooligans.
The Cooligans. The Cooligans. The Cooligans. Anyway,
look at that. We're obviously
we're a musical bunch.
Our new album's coming out soon.
Oh yeah, well that's the thing about us is we have so many hidden talents that people just don't know about.
Very hidden.
We don't even know about.
We're discovering them as we talk to you.
Now. Here we are right now talking to you, discovering new hidden talents.
And we're the new Plies or Diplo.
Yeah. Plies.
Plies. I wanted to say Diplo first, but then I had Plies in my head for some reason.
Plies.
Plies is he's a rapper, right?
Yeah. He's also a registered nurse. He's a fake rapper.
Oh, that's how I know him, as a registered
nurse. Yeah. So, you know, that boy Plies. He's one of those rappers that you just cannot understand. I think he's from Nashville.
Okay.
That little boy Plies.
Yeah, we're also rappers and music producers.
Yeah, that's us.
That's us.
And we're also comedians who host your favorite soccer podcast.
That's right.
We better be your favorite soccer podcast.
You know, obviously the competition is fierce out there for comedic soccer podcasts
that cover the entire U.S. soccer.
That's right. And
there's us, and then there's just a lot of other ones.
We don't know exactly who or what.
I mean, we're not going to get into we're not going to talk about our competition is what we're not going to do.
You know what? Honestly, I'll say this, because I usually don't talk about, you know, in comedy, there's a lot of jealousy.
Oh,
you know?
Bitterness.
This happens, especially in the world of stand-up comedy, which is relatively small.
Yeah.
When somebody gets something, you're like...
Sour grapes.
Yeah, you get a little like, oh, come on. How can I get that opportunity?
I could have done that.
Why did
that...
Yes. But I'll say in the soccer world, I generally have not really felt that.
No.
Because I've been very focused on what we're doing. And I'm,
right.
My effort goes into just that. I don't really put the blinds on.
We ain't worried about nobody else.
Exactly.
We got a lot to worry about.
But
right
I
here.
Did. So, but Men in Blazers did have their golden blazer thing at the Gramercy Theater last week.
Yes.
And they took a picture with the audience, and it was, you know, sold out. Thousands mm-hmm. of, you know, a couple thousand people.
I'm not so happy you're mentioning this on our podcast so far.
But it was the first time that I saw that, and I'm like, that's what we should be doing. That we should. Why?
Yeah, wholeheartedly agree.
Why are they running New York? We should be.
Don't
running
run
New-
shit. I mean, look, they got it unlocked right now.
Yeah, man.
Let me tell you something. Coming for them Blazers. We're gonna get all up in your niche.
Yeah, that sounded a little bit like, yo, we're about to get. You're about to get some blood on them Blazers.
Oh hell yeah. We gonna run in with our team. We run in with Demoncion on camera.
Well, we don't want evidence of this. So
no. Camera. No, but I said that with bunny ears.
In general, course. Yeah, you know, obviously, look, whatever. Men in Blazers they do their thing.
Yeah, they're doing big things.
Yeah,
and, you know, let's not trip. It wasn't just like some two British guys, one guy and a journalist. You know, Roger Bennett is like a media mogul. People don't even know about.
No, Michael Davies.
No. Roger Bennett also. He's got his hand in a bunch of stuff.
Okay.
People don't even know about that.
All right.
I secretly think he comes from family money. If I'm being honest.
Little Men in Blazers conspiracy
theories. Yeah. Uh huh. No, this is all true. You just gotta Google. You gotta go to the deep web for this stuff. And then, of course,
you gotta hide your IP address.
Yeah, yeah, right. You gotta get yourself. You gotta download Tor, and then that's actually just Tour. It's a whole different thing. I just don't want to be put on a list for even saying that. And then you obviously the other dude, you know, is a TV producer,
Michael Davies.
So they got they have so much money behind them.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they have a lot of support. Without a yeah, when NBC's
so what do we got? What do we got? What do we got? What do we got? Hold on, let him hear what we got. Nothing. That's why you heard nothing. That's why you heard nothing there.
Okay. It's just us two and nobody else. We're trying to do our thing.
We got it. You're talking into a shotgun mic, a boom mic, for God's sakes. You know, we got shoddy equipment. You guys can hear it.
Yeah.
We're trying so hard. We're focusing on the content.
The poor quality of our voices.
You're going to hear cars honking and stuff. You don't hear that. I mean, at least this podcast makes you laugh. You've heard theirs. Come on.
So that's it. So that's where we're trying to get there. We're trying to get to.
We're on our way there.
More, you know, more people hear about it. More people supporting soccer, supporting American soccer, and finding that group of people that are like minded. You know,
that's it.
That are into to laughing. And they're into soccer,
that's a big bubble, right?
We didn't know how hard it was going to be to find that Venn diagram of both of those people.
No, I had no idea. Well, you got people laughing on one side, and you got people who like American soccer. And right in that little shady spot in the middle is the Cooligans.
That's right.
Right now, it's not big enough to spell out Cooligans. It just says cool in it. Like, those are cool people.
But we're getting there.
We got to get those Iggins in there. It sounded dirty when I just said that. It sounded like a slur.
Get all up in them Iggins.
Yo, what up, my Iggins? That's got to be what our fans are called. The Iggins. Iggins, please.
It sounds a little like Higgins, but no, it's just...
It sounds like, you know, like 90s hip-hop when they would, like, instead of, like, fuck, they would say, oof, you know, they would just, like, mess up the words lightly.
Yeah, yeah.
So it sounds like the N-word, and someone did that to it, which is what I was trying to get at.
Yeah, we're basically being censored by Hot 97.
For those of you who don't know who Hot 97 is, consider yourself lucky that you would not have to listen to Funkmaster Flex play the first 30 seconds of a hip-hop track that is just released for about 17 minutes before he plays the whole track.
Yes, but you know, I'm really... Every single city has a hot...
Yeah.
Has a hot 103.5 or
except
hot.
LA has like K-Day. That was like their big one.
Oh, okay.
Remember everyone thought that Asian guy was black and then they found out he was Asian because he did a spot on the Moesha show and everyone freaked out. Anyone else?
Why? Oh,
focusing on this stuff?
Is it because anytime an American person sees an Asian, they lose their mind?
They lose their mind because they're like, he knows Kung Fu. No, it was, remember there was all the tension after the riots over there.
Tension after riots.
What are the odds? Are you thinking that's a coming together moment, is it not? Riot, a good old school riot.
But good thing we had the OJ trial to bring everybody back together.
Everyone right back together in our mutual hate / love of OJ Simpson.
So thank you guys for listening again. So look, we started off the show complaining about opportunities we're not getting, but let's focus on
the ones we are getting.
We are getting, and we mentioned this last week at the end of the show, but we just want to start up top. NY Fest, New York Fest. It is
part of the Tribeca Film Festival.
It coincides with the Tribeca Film Festival, which is a very popular movie festival in New York City.
Started after 9/11 to bring back more creativity to that.
Bobby De Niro.
Yeah, Bob De Niro, as they said in the meeting we went to.
That's right.
That's how much they know him. They call him Bob. I would never call him Bob. Nerve,
yeah. Just Mr. De Niro.
Yeah, you got to be invited to his yacht to call him Bob.
But he's obviously one of the organizers of the Tribeca Film Festival, and
this is his baby.
This is we're sort of his babies.
One of the babies.
Little De Niro babies.
Little money.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to be hosting the event NY Fest, which is coincides with the film festival, and it's basically a soccer festival at Brooklyn Bridge Park. It is April 23rd. We're going to be there from 8 in the morning till 5 p.m. We're going to be making jokes. We're going to,
There's going to be a bunch of cool matches going on, a bunch of cool stuff going on. There's going to be a DJ. It's for the whole family.
Giveaways. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of stuff. You know,
can I not swear the entire time?
That's going to be the challenging part. Yeah. So make sure you just, ixnay on the Iggins.
Yeah. Oh, no, we're bringing the Iggins all out. It's going to be Iggins everywhere. All my Iggins are going to be everywhere.
So, but there's a lot of big matches there. Obviously, the New York Police Department and Fire Department, they have a charity game. There's also Comedy Central is going to be there with it. Daily Show is going to be
there. Yeah, there's going to be celebrities there.
Colbert has a team. Trevor Noah. Trevor Noah played in it last year, so he should be there.
He should be there this year.
This year. So, we're going to be interviewing all these people. It's going to be great. So
yeah, we're going to be trying to entertain you the entire time.
So come out to Brooklyn Bridge Park, Pier 5.
Starts at 8 a.m.
Yeah.
And it's going to last till what, like 5 or 7?
Till about 5 p.m.
5 p.m. So we're putting in a full day's work for the first time in a very long time.
So this is...
And here's another thing. I'll be coming back from a gig,
yeah.
Basically, at the end of New Jersey, I'll be all the way down in Cape May. It's a 3-hour drive.
Yeah.
So, what will I look like after about 2 hours of being there?
He's gonna watch Alexis destroy the Cooligans. Yeah.
I'm just gonna be like jet lagged, even though I didn't get on a plane. It's gonna be amazing.
But it's gonna be.
Can I do it?
It's gonna be cool. So we're gonna be there the entire day. Come out to Brooklyn Bridge Park and hang out with us. Talk to us, and it'll be a lot of fun.
We want to meet you guys.
Yeah.
We would love to meet you guys.
So you can come up to us. We'll give you some stickers.
Oh, we're going to have stickers.
Hugs, kisses.
Well, okay. I'm going to stay away from all that because there's going to be kids there. And I know exactly what I look like. I look like everyone in that photo they tell you to stay away from.
So it's going to be great. So that's the thing we're looking forward to. So it would be an honor if you guys came out and supported.
And if you want any more general information about it, just go to NYFest. I believe it's .org or just Google NYFest. NYFEST.
NYFest.org.
Yeah, great. That's right. NYFest.org. Check it out. It's a really cool thing. They do all of the money that comes into this thing goes to charity. You guys don't have to donate anything. Just show up and hang out and have a great time. Also, it's all for you guys.
Also, if you do go to NYFest.org, there's an opportunity to, if you want to volunteer,
Which would be huge.
Which would be huge. They would appreciate. Obviously,
you want to get me coffee every 30 minutes. Come on.
No, but you can volunteer for NYFest itself, and you can help them out, set some stuff up, and you can get to meet a lot of people in film. There's literally people in entertainment and film. There's a lot of like big people that are actually there. So if you're
the people taking charge of this thing are very important people in the film industry. So
exactly,
if you have any desire to work in that industry, whether it's in front or behind the camera or in an office, come to this and volunteer.
I agree.
You're going to get a lot. You're going to get to shake a lot of very important hands.
So do that. So go to nyfest.org and check that out. It's going to be a great day. Now on to footy.
That's right. Things have happened.
A lot of stuff.
Stuff's happening today, actually.
Yeah, it's been a...
Yeah, we're recording this on Tuesday.
On Tuesday, April 11th. Yeah, so you're hearing this on the 12th. I mean, the first news that we have to address is Borussia Dortmund. They had a match scheduled against Monaco.
Shit's popping out there.
It's literally like
legitimately
the streets is hot right now.
Yeah, for real. Maybe a little too hot.
Yeah, so I mean, just straightforward. I mean, a bomb exploded near...
Well, three explosives.
Three explosives next to the Borussia Dortmund team bus.
At first, they said it was serious explosives. They don't think it was that. No one passed away. Let's start there. No one's dead. The only injury is a very minor injury to Bartra, which is one of the defenders, mm-hmm. Who actually was sent to the hospital. He was already released. So the match is going to take place tomorrow. Let's start there. No one's injured.
Yeah.
So the most important question out of all this, and I think this needs to be said, or not even a question, just a statement, you know, from our family to everyone out there, Christian Pulisic is okay. That's the most important thing.
That's literally, we were just immediately like, well, little baby Pulisic, where's...
Yeah. Do we need to swaddle him? How is Pulisic right now?
Yeah, I mean, America just gasps. And
oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean...
I became Pulisic to my stomach thinking about what could possibly go wrong. You hate the fact that you're laughing at that.
I hate it. I hate it so much. I hate it because I also have a sense of, just morals. And I'm like, oh, this feels bad to joke about. But also, it was a pretty funny pun.
Thank you for the director's cut of what's going on
in your
head.
I'm letting you guys know who I am as a person.
I'm bringing you in that I'm the real one. That's what Christian is saying.
Yeah. You know, there has to be some, barometer of decency. Yeah. And that's what I'm here for.
Yeah. Well, I'll swing on the other side of the fence. How's that sound?
So, look, I'm glad no serious injuries. But obviously, they postponed the game for 6:45 Wednesday. So today, when you're listening to this. But how do you...
Tough.
Play a match after going through this when, and look...
How do you ever get back in the bus?
There were a couple quotes from Thomas Tuchel, right? The manager for Borussia Dortmund, and that's his main concern, like psychologically, how this team going to go through this, because what the inside of that bus must have been like. I mean...
Yeah, they said that those images will never get out of your head. And I can't imagine... I mean, why are they even doing interviews? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just really scary.
Go home, be with your families, dude.
Just more stupidity. I mean, yeah. All this is in Europe is just like so just insane.
We joked about Christian Peele said, but could you imagine his family that's not there with him?
Correct.
Yeah. You know, he's got siblings. He's got a mother that's in Pennsylvania. They must have been.
He has us. We were very concerned about
we haven't
it.
Heard.
We have been the other texted you know, us.
I mean, I'm saying we've been mad at Dax this whole time. Pulisic about to get on that list. You better call home. You know, so I think I'm happy that no one got injured. And, you know, you think about this all the time. You think about, like, what if something like this happened to, you know, we see these guys play, and to us, they're entertainment, but they're human beings. You know what I mean? And, you know, like the Chapecoense thing and now this, you get these moments of sort of clarity. You know what I mean? That, you know, maybe there's some more important things going on. And also, you know, they have to be taken care of just like everyone else needs to be. They're not any more important than anyone else. But at the same time, I mean, that must make it very hard. Imagine, you know, like something went off on the car you take to work or in the lobby of the building you work in. You know what I mean? It'd be very hard for you to walk through that building. So, again, I'm, you know, I think everyone has been sending out like really nice messages and whatnot of support. And I think that, you know, hopefully that calms things down and they're very safe to the match tomorrow.
Yeah. That's all we, you know, anyone can hope for.
And that's
for.
As sentimental as I'll get.
Yeah.
Right back to joking about it.
Bro, you're going to regret showing that kind of weakness.
Yeah, for real. I'm already upset about it. I'm not going to lie. In fact, I don't know who that guy was. Some bitch just grabbed my mic. No.
So look.
In fact, we know the bus is on fire, dog. Anyway, sorry. That was ridiculous.
Yeah, it went a little too far there. Yeah. But look, so glad. Yeah, everyone's okay and they'll be fine. And look, hopefully, look how cool of a story will it be if they win tomorrow?
Yeah.
You know, and they play very well, and it has, you know, and maybe this brings them all together to play even better. But yeah.
Hopefully that's the story. Oh, geez. Sorry, guys.
Exactly.
Really jumped on that mic there. But hopefully that's the story. So, speaking of another explosive, you know, topic. Sorry. Barcelona is down 3-0.
You are the worst at this. There's no other. You're like the local news reporters that have to go from 7 murdered
puppy dogs to playing in the park. Yeah.
Oh, and now on to some better news.
Listen, no one comes to this podcast for sentiment, okay? You exactly. Come here for one specific reason, and that's for me to be an idiot. And boy, have you gotten it, okay?
So the other Champions League match was scheduled at the same exact time.
Yeah, 3 explosives, one up in Camp Nou. No, where did they play? They played in Juventus.
They played in Juventus.
So stupid.
Oh, my God.
One explosive called Dybala. 2 explosives called Dybala, and 1 called Chiellini. Oh, God, this is way too soon.
Yes.
I'm not even going to ask if it's too soon. I already know.
Juventus clearly brought out the heavy artillery.
Thank you. Thank you for coming to the dark side. Again, only because no one was injured. If Pulisic lost a hair, we wouldn't be making these jokes.
Correct.
We'd be on a flight to Dortmund.
So, yes, Juventus did lose Barcelona did lose to Juventus.
So you think they're gonna come back from this deficit? What, in the 66th minute of the second leg?
I believe we'll have a probably 13-4 aggregate Barcelona win.
Cavani still scores a goal against them.
They still, yeah. Barcelona will figure this out. This is nothing to even be scared about. Look, after the 2 legs against PSG, this is not a 3-0.
That's like nothing. Yeah,
just
that's one for every one of their world class forwards.
Yeah, they'll be fine. I mean, Dybala was. We watched a few minutes of the game. Dybala, obviously, he's the next Messi.
He's diabolical.
Okay, now I have to stop it. I gotta be honest,
really proud of that.
You know
one.
What? Now it's getting offensive.
Well, now people in Dortmund are upset.
We were okay with everything.
They were like, geez, the joke's about what happened to us. I mean, that's one thing, but that diabolical.
Again, Barcelona's probably going to win this.
They're probably, I think you're right. They're going to win by like 5-3, you know, is the final.
So. Let's a couple other things before we get into the bulk of the show, the MLS stuff.
I will say, though, before we move on, the worst part about this Barca thing, and this isn't a joke, it's just how, you know, you have to put up with Juventus fans already. Imagine they win, just how unbearable they're going to be.
I guess I don't think I've experienced this, the Juventus.
Oh God, you don't talk to enough Italian people. Juventus is like, you know, that's the you know, the, I guess the PSG of Serie A. They have all the best players.
Yeah, I know that, but I've never been annoyed by Juventus fans.
Oh man, their fans are unbearable. And if you bring up the fact that they, you know, they were found out to be paying the refs.
Oh yeah,
you know, from point of view, you bring that up. I mean, it's like, oh, why are you bringing that up? I don't know, because it happened.
That was like six, seven, 8 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Like, why, come on. Why are you bringing up old stuff?
Yeah, what is that, the 70s, you know?
Yeah, okay, all right. So, all right. So
if they beat Barcelona, they're going to walk around as if they're better than Barcelona. And after having given up, you know, Paul Pogba, oh, I can't wait.
Okay, all right.
But the rumor is Barcelona wants to buy Dybala.
Yes, I have heard that.
So this might be an inspiration for them to do so.
All right. Yeah, just so they can not lose next year.
But that's it. Loan him out to Arsenal.
The one other thing, the World Cup, Alexis. The U.S. is kind of getting the World Cup.
Yeah, kind of.
Kind of.
We've increased our odds.
That's right. So the U.S. Has done a joint bid with Canada and Mexico to basically get the World Cup in North America.
Right. So it's going to be the North America bid. Mm-hmm. The big issue was the question of whether this means that all three nations, I guess, qualify. And I think they've said they've kind of figured out part of the presentation was how that would work. And I think because it's increased to 48 teams, this is something that they sort of can allow.
Yeah.
Which is great for Canada. That means they qualify, right? You know, they weren't going to qualify otherwise.
Yeah, I think, well, with 48 teams, they have a much better chance.
Right.
But
Paraguay says they're willing to go at it with Grenada.
I say the World Cup should just be, it should be a, let's just do a 48 team bid for the
let's do it. Everybody host.
Everybody host.
The final, middle of the Pacific Ocean. We'll just figure it out. That garbage thing, you know, that thing where all the plastic is floating? Build a stadium out there.
Right.
Qatar says they have the technology to do it already.
So it's going to be exciting. Obviously, I think this puts the U.S. And Canada and Mexico for the lead to hopefully, imagine they still don't get the world. Imagine FIFA is still that corrupt in a decade that they still.
They will be. They will be just as corrupt.
They still.
But you know what scares me?
The World Cup 2026 in Siberia. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah.
Have you always wanted to watch a soccer game in Antarctica? Well, now's your chance.
It's going to be incredible.
Oh, it's going to be the worst. I think, honestly, what might happen is now that we sort of. You know, like when somebody like does something first, there's a better thing that pops up next sometimes. Like other people get the idea and they redo it. I think one thing that could do that
the way
is,
the Men in Blazers and then Cooligans came out after
that. Yeah, exactly. Well, we're doing it much better. I mean, if you guys want to hear English accents and be bored through an entire interview, we could do that. I think GB, I think Great Britain could do the same thing. Wales, Scotland.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I think they could do the same thing.
Okay. Yeah.
And they have, I think they have the, they don't have the big stadiums like we have, but I think they have the capability to handle 48.
All right. Yeah. I mean,
or Spain, Portugal.
Almost 48 teams seems like there's a fewer amount of countries that could actually do this on their own.
Right. This is helping us out.
Yeah. So
imagine how many slaves would die if Qatar had to do 48 teams. Jesus Christ. Could you imagine?
The loss of life would be insulting. The slavery we would understand.
Yeah. No, you want the slaves to be alive. That's how they remain slaves. I'm speaking on behalf of Qatar here. This isn't my own personal beliefs. This is what the Qataris are thinking. Like, we can't have the slaves dying, you know?
Yeah. So that is kind of interesting. It almost suggests that now having a 48-team World Cup will maybe minimize the corruption. Do you think that's safe to say?
Because I don't think
just because
so.
It's harder to with smaller countries, it's a little easier to rig everything. But now with logistics and things like that, there's a fewer amount of countries that could actually do this.
Yeah, but if you can go at it with other countries, then you could do like the entire Mideast, or you can do, you know, like big chunks. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like like Spain can handle it. Spain, Portugal would be an incredible one. You know, that would help out Portugal. Portugal is never going to get a World Cup bid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So this is an opportunity. So I feel like you'll find corruption in the sense that like neighboring countries will be paying each other to like combine.
Yeah. Now it's tag team corruption.
Oh yeah. The whole Slavic region got a bunch of envelopes for you.
So that'd be cool. Hopefully that happens. The World Cup hasn't been in the U.S. since 1994.
And look at the big bounce that, you know, the big, like, you know, sort of pickup that soccer took.
Yeah, MLS
after that.
Exploded after that.
It became something after that. Yeah. So, which was great that FIFA said you have to have your own league. And here we are today. But imagine what the kids in that generation, like I was a young, maybe not even born yet, 1994, to be completely honest.
Yeah.
And I was very inspired.
You were making puns out of the womb.
Oh, yeah. My mom was punching her stomach. Don't we get it? But like, you know, how inspired I was. And I became a much bigger soccer fan around the fanfare of leading up to the World Cup.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine what it's going to be like for the next generation. And it's only going to help out our player development, you know, to see our young guys watching these incredible players right here in this country.
All right. It's 2026. It just makes me more upset that we got to deal with, you know, Russia and Qatar for the next, you know,
that's it. We got to get over it.
It's just unbelievable.
8 years. We have to just sit back and bear it for 8 years. Does that remind you of anything else? Hopefully not, actually.
Hopefully,
it's only four.
Yeah. For me, it's four right now.
Yeah. Shocking that we're going to be worrying about Russia on two different fronts.
Okay. So on to MLS. Hot week of matches. Finally, people are scoring who should have been scoring sooner. I'm talking about Sebastian Giovinco.
Seba.
But let's
about time. Oh yeah.
Oh boy. It's gonna be a long episode, everybody.
Everybody, put on your seatbelts. Put on your pun hats.
Toronto. Let's start with Toronto against Atlanta. Obviously, two teams that are kind of.
I was shocked by it.
Dominating the Eastern Conference.
Well, I mean, Atlanta's in third after the draw. They drew 2-2.
Toronto has not been winning many games. They've gotten a lot of draws, but they've looked good every game.
They've not lost any, but they've drew 4 out of 5.
Exactly.
That's not a great start, but it's not the worst start.
They're the best looking team to not win more. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, 100%. And this is the thing. We talk about this all the time. The first few matches, I would say maybe the first, like, 8 to 10 matches of the MLS season don't really matter. It's all about catching that sort of heat, you know, catching that, you know, you're riding that hot wave at the end. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if this is what they need to do to sort of, you know, kind of get their club together and feel each other out, go for it. You know, that's the other thing about Atlanta. You know, I said I think they're going to win it all, and I still think they will if Joseph Martinez gets back. But they don't want to get too hot up front. You know what I mean? Don't burn yourself out in the first few weeks.
Okay.
It's not a balanced schedule. You know what I mean? So you're going to be going to some place. You're going to be traveling a lot.
So, but this match ended 2-2.
Yeah.
And goals, we had two from Villalba.
Villalba got a brace.
And then we had one from Giovinco, which was a great play from a great layoff from Jozy Altidore.
Yeah, a back heel almost kind of thing.
Yeah, it was almost like, you know, he was watching Villa the week prior.
Villa's like, I did two of those. And he's like, I think I can get one at least. And that's Sebastian's first goal, which is insane.
That's right. And this match in general I think every team that plays Atlanta now, especially seeing how hot out of the gate they were.
Yeah.
Every team is a little bit like, all right, let's show up. We got to show. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
We got to put these rookies in their place.
You know, they talk a lot about in basketball or in NFL, what are the games that you circle on your calendar? Atlanta is circled in every other locker room just because no one wants to lose 4-0. You know what I mean?
Of course.
So the fact that they, and the thing is that they have so many weapons up front. You know what I mean?
Atlanta, even without Joseph Martinez, still look fine.
Yeah.
That's the thing that's almost, that's a bit scary.
And he's out for another 4 weeks, right?
A couple, I think it's almost 2 months that he's out, something like that.
Is that
six
true?
6 weeks, I believe. I might be confusing his with the Kaka injury.
Yeah.
I was going to say Kaka, which is not, that's
Kaka
not how you say
injury.
His name.
Well, it was a Kaka injury. I mean, you know, that's not a great injury. It's very poopy. The fact that made you laugh.
Stupid. So, but you know, this is watching this game, especially look, Atlanta just played. They played, you know, the MLS Cup finalists, you know, they play Seattle and they got a draw, and they play Toronto and got a draw. And this match, I was surprised how well they kept up defensively. This is the big surprise, because most expansion teams, their big issue is always defense, where they there's always something lacking, you know. But it's scary that Atlanta almost has no real like flaw. No, there's not a particular position where you're like, oh, this is where they're gonna suffer.
I think if they do have any sort of weakness, it's what happens when one of their main guys goes down, like Joseph Martinez. Look, Villalba is great. Will he be able to carry the load all season? He's getting great service from Almirón and some of those other guys, but I don't know that that's who you'd rather have than Joseph Martinez. You know what I mean? It's, you have a clear group of starters, and this is the thing about the MLS cap. You have to situate it in a way where it's very deep.
Yeah.
But the first season, they have a lot more general allocation money, which you get a lot more because you're a rookie, your first season expansion team. And also, they don't have a lot of the other cup competitions. They don't have to worry about CONCACAF, Champions League. You know,
sure.
Are they allowed?
I mean, most teams don't have to worry about that stuff. But just in general, what they're doing as an expansion team, and we see Minnesota, what Atlanta has done as far as just the composure of this team is
ridiculous.
Very impressive. Yeah.
Yeah. And they got Garza. They got guys that know the league a little
exactly.
bit.
Exactly. And that's what I think their best decisions, those players that they got in the expansion draft. I think their best leader is Tyrone Mears. Tyrone Mears, who came from Seattle, who won the
MLS Cup.
Won the MLS Cup last year. He looks he just looks incredible. He's just a guy that he just knows what to do with the ball at all times. Doesn't really make any mistakes. Having that kind of a veteran.
Don't forget Parkhurst.
Sure.
Parkhurst, who, you know, American international, played in Europe for a very long time.
So, yeah.
He knows what he's doing. He reminds me a lot of Jonathan Spector in Orlando.
They have these veterans at the back, and they have that youth in the front.
Yeah.
It just seems like it's working very, very well.
Yeah, and of course, all the credit goes to people. I almost said it's not Sharon DeLow. Who's the dude that's
that's in Toronto.
Yeah, who's the dude that's who's their GM?
I don't know who their GM
Come on, you know who their GM is.
I don't know who their GM is.
Buddy. I look like an idiot right now. He's a former men's national team player. I cannot remember his name right now. We're looking it up. So all of you right now listening are yelling it at your phones or your computer screens, wherever you're doing it, you're watching.
Who is it? It is.
Oh, God.
I don't know who it is. Let me see. Oh, former crew GM.
Nope. God, we're going to cut this part out.
I'm trying to find it. Bocanegra?
That's it.
Carlos Bocanegra, technical director.
Technical director Carlos Bocanegra went out and got an incredible group of players together, and Tata Martino.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those two deserve all the credit in the world. And if, you know, Bocanegra wants to, you know, come manage NYCFC, we would love it. I know I love Claudia Reyna, but this guy's got a mind really knows how to build a club, and he went out and got some players. Again, Almirón was supposed to go to Arsenal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Almirón, you know, it's sometimes I watch, when you look at his face, I mean, I know he's what? He's 19, 20?
Yeah, he's like 20, 21.
He also looks like a baby.
Yeah, yeah, he looks like a child. He looks like a child who just lost his PlayStation. He always has like a bit of a sourpuss on his face.
he has that naivete smile. Yeah, like he just doesn't. Yeah, he looks like he's just one of the ball kids wandered on to the pitch. Yeah.
Turns out he's pretty good.
You know what? Take off that pink shirt. Yeah, put on one of ours.
Come on, kid, get out there.
And he was also stellar. I look at, you know, he's obviously a designated player, but he's also very, he's pretty small. Like, he's thin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's very lanky.
He's
a thin, lanky, like petite for a man.
You know, so when I play, so I'm not comparing myself to Miguel Almirón, but sometimes I look at people with similar sort of body type, and I get pushed around anytime I play.
The three of us. I mean, it's, you know, it's, We think about it all the time. If you're laughing while listening to this, I hate you.
So I get pushed around easily. But he's as a dude, he just knows how to, I mean, he knows how to play soccer. That's really all it is. And he's not really worried
about it. Which is where the comparison for the two of you ends.
Yeah. He's like, oh, wow, he really knows what he's doing.
Yeah. But that's it. You know, they say that like in the lower center of gravity actually helps. You know, you got guys like Messi and even, you know, Federico Higuain, whatever the guy's name is over in Columbus. Guys like that that are small stature, even Sebastian Giovinco, they know how to use their center of gravity a little better. And in a sport where you're both running in the same direction, as opposed to like American football or basketball, where you tend to be running in opposite directions, if you're both running in the same direction, that lower center of gravity actually helps you more.
Yeah, we should also address the red card that was given to Yamil Asad. Asad, who's been great for Atlanta as well, another young forward.
Yeah, scored their first goal ever, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. And he got a red card, which didn't make much sense to me.
Well, he was listening to Ludacris, and he was throwing bows.
He was throwing them bows. But he didn't really catch the dude. Like,
I mean, you can't come around that way. That's a red card automatically. You have to protect people's heads. Did the other guy fake it? Maybe. Even if he clipped him, dude, coming around that fast with an elbow? Dude's got like those real pointy elbows.
He did try to do
that. My wife got those, and at night she jazzed me with it. Wakes me up. You know what I'm talking about?
He did like a, like almost like a defensive lineman like swim move.
The swim move. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Over.
Like he threw his arm over the dude's shoulder and clipped him with the elbow.
I mean, clips, it seems like an excessive word. I mean, he grazed. You know, if I got grazed by a bullet, I wouldn't say I got shot. You know what I'm saying?
I would be screaming. I'd have them carry me around in a casket. Are you kidding me? Grazed?
He got grazed by an elbow.
Ah, dude, he took a bow to the head. You can't do that. You got to protect the player's head.
You best protect your head.
Woo kind of said it, you know?
So, yeah, I didn't really agree with it, but I understand. It did seem a little bit excessive from the ref, but that's just my opinion.
I disagree with Christian. I think that was a straight red every time, and there's nothing you can do about it.
That happened in almost like the 76th or 77th minute. And for the rest of the match, for Atlanta to still hold, you know, not
but
give
they
up
came
anymore.
Back.
No. It was 2-2 at this point, but they didn't give up.
No, I meant they were able to come back. They show that. What is it? I don't know what it is.
That grit. Well, no, they were up. They were up 2-1. The Villalba goal happened a couple seconds after the second half began.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought they came back. Well,
but this is the thing. Atlanta was, I think they had a game plan because it was Chris Mavinga, the center back, was getting beat all the time. But Villalba was just burning him every single time. So it was like, you know, when in NFL, there's a corner that you know you can beat all the time.
Just keep going.
So they kept going to Villalba because he was always just beating Mavinga. Mavinga got subbed off after the second goal. So whatever the game plan was, they just circled Mavinga and be like, yo, go after Mavinga.
You know what to do. We're going after one person only. But it also goes to show that they're doing the things that not every other team is doing. I don't know that every other club, does that in preparation of a match.
Sure, like
a lot of clubs use the Arsenal way, which is, no, we're going to play our game and we're just going to be better than them. We don't have to focus on them. And Tata is like, no. I want to know who we're playing against and who can we attack. And I think that's really, really sharp, really smart.
So even the fact that they don't have Joseph Martinez, they haven't really slowed down at all. So that's a good sign.
No, but they are missing him, and
of course,
you know, we hope
that and his deep stares into the crowd every time he scores.
They all have like the Villalba has like the same body type, like Jack. He's got the hair up at the top, looks like an anime character. They all look really intimidating. It's wild.
Yeah, they all go to the same stylist, same barber. They're doing fine.
Unless we didn't find out. Let any Atlanta United fans listening, let us know which hip hop star rang the bell. They rang a bell, or was this not a home match? No, this was at Toronto. This there you go. Never mind. Was Drake there? Was any of the OVO members there?
Yeah, why? You know, Drake goes to Toronto Raptors matches. Why doesn't he go to Toronto FC?
He's fucking up,
bro.
Come on, homie.
It's a fan base out there.
How about next album? More soccer. How about that? Instead of more life.
All right. So next up, let's talk about Sporting Kansas City against Colorado. Another. This was a nationally televised match. This was the
Someone night. Should have told Tim Howard.
Someone he didn't. I mean, I can say he didn't show up. But
no, that it was televised. That maybe he could watch his mouth, dirty boy.
So this was a good game, but Sporting Kansas City, we all know they are
demolished them. By the way,
they did. But I guess I didn't expect them to be this sort of dominant.
No, they didn't play that well all the rest of the season.
At least offensively, because they, I think already this season they've given up the fewest goals. The keeper, Tim Miller, has been just, standing on his head to some degree. And they obviously, Sporting Kansas City won 3-1.
Yeah, Sinovic getting his first regular season goal in history in his career.
That's right.
Which is wild, because I think he scored two really big ones in the last playoffs.
Okay.
Or playoffs 2 years ago.
That's right. They mentioned that in the broadcast.
Yeah.
But we got goals from Gerso and Dwyer as well.
Right.
Gerso's goal couldn't have happened without Dom Dwyer.
He was all over this match.
He was on fire this game.
He took hold of this entire match. Yeah. And I wonder if that's their game plan moving forward.
It's interesting because sometimes I watch, especially strikers like this, watching David Villa, watching Dwyer, watching these players that are they have a big set of skills,
Yeah.
I have a set of skills.
I have a certain set of skills.
So, but Dom Dwyer, every time I watch him, I occasionally see him do something stupid,
I mean, that's the rub against players like him that look like they have the skill to play in the Premier League, but then they don't. Champions level or what championship level or not.
They're occasionally they'll just do something so dumb. Like, why are you trying that?
They're just not consistently great.
Exactly. But Dom Dwyer, and he did this a lot in the first half where he just made a couple just dumb decisions or trying to be a little too flashy.
Made some Dom decisions.
Okay, like we said, we gave you fair warning. You could have shut it off.
You might have enjoyed the first part. You may not be enjoying this.
So this is at this point, this is on you, listener.
Yeah,
this is on you.
This is your fault.
This is your fault because you're continuing. We see the numbers of these downloads. Yeah. You're continuing to support this.
Yeah, all
right? You're encouraging.
In fact,
this
you're telling more people about it. So thank you, Christian. Does not thank you.
But Dom Dwyer, he had that incredible play that he received the ball center of the half. He
kind of did like a weird turn, but like the defender was just like, where'd he go?
Yeah, it was almost like he passed it to himself around the player.
Yeah.
He just redirected the ball, but the defender was coming towards him. He passed it around him and just went around the defender. It was a great move and really made the defender look very, very bad,
which is hilarious.
And he made one pass, and then I forgot exactly who passed it to Gerso. And Gerso with a great goal. Obviously, we know he's left-footed, and he went short corner, a small amount of space to get this goal.
It takes the biggest balls in the world to shoot at this, because first of all, not only is it Tim Howard, the national team keeper, and he's one of those guys that doesn't give up a short post or a near post goal like that, but there was such a small amount and the angle was impossible.
Was really hard. So he hit it with the outside of his left foot
and power.
With power to the short corner, the near side. It just a tough shot. Why take this shot? Everybody knows you shoot this with your right foot and you try to go around the keeper with your right foot.
Curl it. Harry Kane, the motherfucker. Yeah.
Exactly. But no, and it looked amazing. It was a great goal. A lot of people, I saw this on Twitter, and this happened obviously at Kansas City, but the confetti that falls on the keeper, which is, you already got scored on, and now you have to get showered in blue confetti.
In blue
and
paper.
It also sits right at your net.
I kind of think that's one of the things that I love about soccer. It's like even back in Toronto days when they used to do the streamers, like you just keep playing.
Yeah.
There's like garbage bags on the pitch. There's like those shopping bags are blowing by. You just keep playing. They say soccer is babies and they're this and they're that. Look at this. There's confetti everywhere. You just keep playing.
But can't you slip on the confetti? Isn't that a possibility?
I mean, you're wearing studs on the bottom of your
boots.
They
must know this. The MLS must be okay with this if they're not stopping it.
Yeah.
But to me, there's so much confetti that it just seems like if you slip on a save and it goes in, wouldn't you be furious?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
It just seems like it's something they shouldn't do.
But I would love if they're like, oh, you know, instead of confetti, we don't want to offend anyone. So from now on, we're going to spray oil. We're just going to put oil everywhere. It's kind of like a cartoon.
It's going to be Crisco.
Yeah. Everywhere. So good luck, goalkeepers. Only in the away section.
But overall, game was interesting. A couple things that did happen afterwards. And we had Mr. Ringo, who had tweeted at me. He's an Atlanta United supporter. I believe he's in Footy Mob as well.
I think he's the guy for Footy Mob.
Is he the Footy Mob guy, right? Okay. So he mentioned, he was like, so his Twitter is the Ringo Show. He mentioned, what did Dom Dwyer and Tim Howard say to each other? Just to sort of guess what they said to each other after the match. Because Dom Dwyer went up to Tim Howard, shake his hand. Tim Howard put a finger in his face.
Well, it looked like it was kind of amicable at first, but then Howard said something first.
Yeah,
Howard put a finger in his face, and then Dom Dwyer said something, and Howard walked away, and Dom was like, don't walk away. Get your ass back here. Be like, be a man and come back here. And boy, did Howard come back. And then they kind of separated after that.
Yeah, I don't know. Nothing. It didn't seem like anything happened during the match that would suggest, like, you know, they should be angry with each other. I don't know what it is. The only thing I can think is Dom Dwyer did that backflip after the goal.
Now, you know what it is that he was just stunting on him. You could tell he was like, oof, bad one for you today. Something like that. That had to be what happened. And, you know, Tim Howard is pretty famously an angry guy after losses.
Yes.
Yeah. So he's just one of those guys that's like, don't talk to him. Don't talk to him if he loses. Certainly don't talk to him disrespectfully. I still side with Dwyer. I'd be that guy. I'd be like, man, if I said something, I said it. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this is where we are now. I said it. You know what I mean? You have to be that way. And if you're Dom, I've said this before, strikers, they're like the wide receivers. They have to have all of the confidence in the world.
I think Dom was just like, oh, I'll see you at the World Cup qualifiers.
And
Howard maybe did.
Bastian Schweinsteiger was like, are these the ones you're talking about? Are we playing them right now?
So on top of that, so there was a... So this is interesting now, and now it's getting to like almost conspiracy level.
Right.
So I had on our Instagram, we follow a Sporting Kansas City supporter called Real Ski Cast,
right?
And he's a season ticket holder, and he sits
just behind the goal.
We had this video of the Sporting Kansas City fans kind of yelling at, you know, as you do with keepers, you kind of
light ribbing.
And they're basically, a lot of the fans are like, boo Tim Howard, go back to Colorado, blah, blah, blah.
Not that bad. Go back to Colorado.
Not a big deal. This is after they're already losing. Obviously, Tim Howard's a little frustrated. If he was mad at Dom,
it was obviously a break, or like maybe there was action on the other end, like maybe a goal kick or a corner.
Correct.
Because he was taking a sip of Gatorade just past the touchline. So he's actually out of goal and he's wiping his face down with a towel. And it was after the confetti had been popped.
Yeah. So
you could see confetti. So it was probably something in the 60s, like the late 60s.
Yeah.
Right. Time wise. And they're going to go back to Colorado. You suck. It's all light, you know, family friendly. Yeah,
not a big deal.
Until Howard is like, oh, you want to turn it up? We going to turn it up.
So this is why this is interesting. So what Tim Howard did say was, go fuck your mother. is, maybe I should have said, warning, I'm about to say a horrible thing right
now.
But whatever. Again, we see the downloads of the podcast. This is your fault.
Yeah, clearly you don't care if we go clean here.
So he did say that. He said, go F your mother to the fans. And people were like, all right, well, they were upset. Obviously, the fans were upset afterwards. But the reason this is getting a little weird is that I saw this video and I downloaded it just to make sure I had it.
Yeah.
And then I went back on Instagram to find Real Ski Cast, and I cannot find Real Ski Cast. I don't know. Their username is gone.
The MLS NSA got them. Oh my God.
So
now, next.
So I have this video. I don't even know if we should repost it because it's not our video. I don't want to repost it without any consent.
Did he change his name?
I don't know. I just, I, I feel like maybe I wrote down the wrong name.
Maybe you dreamt this up.
No, but you saw the video.
I have seen the video, but maybe you were there.
So this is kind of trippy and weird. So we don't know where this. We know this video is real because I have it on my phone. But the person who posted it, I don't know what their user account is. I know I wrote it down, and I wanted to ask them if we could repost it, if that was okay. But yeah, I don't know if we'll be able to reach them ever. So anyway, so that's what happened. So
kind of shocking.
Tim Howard did do that. This wasn't publicized. I think his video didn't get picked up by anything. This is also it's pretty ridiculous for Tim Howard to do this. He doesn't need to do this, but we do know that he has Tim Howard has Tourette's syndrome.
Yeah,
And we know he's known to say bad words.
Yeah, but this was
in times of stress.
This was probably the calmest Tourette's explosion ever. I mean, this was no pun there.
Yeah,
this was just a very simple. He stopped drinking. He looks up. And he's like, "Hey, go F your mother," and he goes right back to just being who he is. And that was. I respect both sides of this argument.
Yeah,
I get where the fans are coming from. You got to give them, you got to try to get them out of their game.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly, it worked. And if you're Howard, if you're Tim Howard, maybe you went too far. You know what I mean? And I've been there before.
Yeah, we all have things, we say things we might regret from time to time.
I have not on this podcast ever.
not once.
Well, that's just, I live without regrets. I don't have that part of me. I'm a sociopath.
Sure. I love your no regrets tattoo as well. Yeah. It's pretty dope.
I got it during Vin Diesel Fest.
Which we will be hosting.
Yeah, we're also going to host. Yeah, they're definitely not part of the Tribeca Film Festival. No, it's part of the Harlem Film Festival.
So, so maybe we'll post this video. This is a very real video. If anybody personally wants to see it, just tweet at me. I'm sure I can send it to you, DM it or something.
And send us your address. We'll send you stickers as well. Yeah.
That's right. Also. Okay, so a couple other games that we wanted to talk about.
Real quick.
Yeah, Philadelphia against Portland. Portland Timbers, obviously... probably best. I think it's safe to say best team in the league right now.
Yeah.
They are scoring a bunch. They are not giving up many. Overall, they're doing it in the sexiest of ways.
Absolutely. And also the least amount of long balls in the league, huh?
Okay.
How about that? Caleb Porter has found a way to go more direct, but still keep that Porter ball that he likes to play.
Well, it's interesting because, Portland doesn't necessarily have any speedsters.
They got Nagby.
They have Nagby, but up front, they don't really have anybody that's just going to outrun. Adi's not going to outrun anybody.
No, but Adi plays that false nine kind of center forward.
Adi will mush you out of the way.
Yeah, yeah. So, what's his name? Dowell or Powell?
Powell.
Yeah. They should put those like little starbursts around the POW and Powell. That dude is mushing dudes left and right. He is no joke.
So, yeah, it seems like the sort of identity of Portland this season is to, I mean, to be tougher. I mean, like that's probably the best way to put it, because when we think of Portland, we think of what? Portlandia. We think of vegans.
Right.
We think of,
people with free range shoes, nothing, no preservatives.
I bought my girlfriend was vegan for a long time, and I bought her vegan shoes from Tom's.
Oh boy.
And it was a good purchase.
Was it?
Yeah.
I'll take your word
for
it.
Comfy vegan shoes.
Well, my wife's birthday is tomorrow, and I will not be getting her vegan shoes because I don't want her throwing them at me.
you're gonna get her like the clothing Lady Gaga wore to the MTV Awards.
I'm getting her shoes literally made out of meat. You got 2 days to use this, baby girl.
Otherwise, it's gonna stink up the house. Yeah. Steak shoes.
Yeah. It's just so stupid. I'll do it myself one way or another.
So Philadelphia having a rough season. They haven't won. I think they've drawn.
We got to get Marissa Pillow back on.
Yeah.
See what's going on.
Explain yourself, Marissa.
Yeah. Come on, Marissa.
Because Philadelphia, I think they had a lot of high hopes. They made that rap video to introduce the new kits.
That embarrassing rap video.
The Migos parody.
They got Bedoya. They brought on Yewu. Is Marissa Du still there?
I don't think he is.
I think he is.
Is he?
Yeah. So, I mean, they've got some pieces, but it looks like they're missing that burrito.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
They need to get the ass in Chipotle. Go scouting in Chipotle.
Yeah. Offensively, they look like they don't have much going on.
Yeah.
They had a lot of high hopes for Rosenberry, who I think they're even looking at maybe for U.S. call-up. I think his name was being thrown around, things like that. But offensively... Yeah, they don't have many real options. I don't know.
That service.
Yeah, it's a bit of a concern. I think the couple things that were interesting. The goal, the penalty that they gave up. From Maddox, who was just obviously pretty fast and was outrunning. I forgot who the defender was, but this seems to be.
Actually, it was the keeper. The keeper was the one that.
I'm getting. But the defender misplayed the ball.
Yeah,
the reason it happened at all. Andre Blake, yes, he did foul him. Right on the edge of the box. But this seems to be a bit of a concern as far as like when it comes to, I don't know, maybe if it's an athleticism thing, like Philly just looks a little, I don't know, tired or it seems like they can't go the full 90 minutes.
Well, it's also just one of those things that like when you don't have that creativity in the final third, you get gassed. You know, you're behind the ball, you're chasing the ball the whole match.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a tough way to play.
Overall, like I mean, Portland, it's tough to be like Philly is having a, you know, a horrible year.
Yeah.
When they're playing, I mean, they played a good team. Like I really Nagby. It's like coming into his own this year. He's finally, he got his first goal.
Well, he's also going to the left. He's not central anymore.
Sure, and I think his confidence is definitely up after, you know, a couple good matches for the U.S. I mean, I think he's becoming more of a leader on this team. And I love the goal that he scored. I love that style of goal because it's the goal of running across the face of the goal, right, from on the edge of the box,
right,
and instead of like curling the ball to the far corner, you hit it near side on the ground. And this is Ibrahimovic did this early on in the Premier League season.
Right, because the keeper is following the play. So the keeper is sort of feigning to the left.
Yeah.
So you sort of surprise him by shooting directly into the right.
Exactly. So what he did was, and this almost happens all the time because anytime you go across the face of goal, logically you think they're probably going to curl the ball. They're trying to curl the ball farther away.
But not only that, the ball is also traveling in the momentum that you can curl it very easily because it's already rolling.
Exactly. And what he did was obviously hit it to the near side on the ground. And what happens almost all the time is that the ball goes in, it nutmegs whoever's covering you.
The defender.
Because they think you're going to curl the ball. So they extend their leg very far apart and you would kind of, I sort of hope that more people would take this shot in the MLS because you don't see it very often.
Yeah, but you also see a lot of those shots where they sort of get ricocheting. You're like, oh, why'd you shoot it right into the defender? So, you know, it takes balls. Again, that's another one. Garso and him takes balls to do that.
Sure. So,
let's wrap this up. What are the, because we got a big interview coming up here.
That's right. So we spoke to Alicia Rolls Delgado from the Orlando Sentinel. So we're getting big papers now.
Tons.
Okay. And people say
we're not getting paid big paper.
Pay big paper.
Yeah, big paper. Meaning money.
Getting paid big paper.
No, we're not. We're not. What we are doing is getting connected to big papers.
Big papers. Yeah.
So maybe next comes big paper.
Plural. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Because paper is the only word that is when you say it with the S as plural and just without the S.
Yeah.
Like paper, you know what I mean? Like it's two different words. Paper and papers mean two different things. Like one is money and one is newspapers.
Right. But only for us. You do get that.
Yes. Sorry for that terrible definition and explanation.
How bad did you guys want one of my puns there, huh?
So
why don't we do this? What is it? Orlando beat at New York Red Bull 1-0.
That's right. So we talked about Orlando and we talked about a bunch of other stuff with Alicia Rose Delgado. She's the beat writer for the Orlando Sentinel for Orlando City, Orlando City B, and the Orlando Pride.
Yeah, so they put out a bunch of articles every day. So why don't we do this? Why don't we take a break? I know it's like 57 minutes already. Well, we'll take a break. If you're still listening, thank you very much. And we'll be right after this with a great interview. So listen to this. Hey, everybody, thank you so much for listening to that first segment. We got the second segment coming right up. First, we just wanted to break in real quick and ask you to do us a huge favor.
Yeah, all we want you to do is just subscribe to our YouTube channel. That is that's the big look. We work very hard on this podcast. We're also making a very concerted effort to put out some more video content for you guys. And we want to get some people watching those videos as well.
Yeah, I mean, right now you got about like 30 more seconds before the second segment comes up. So I beg you, if you're on your phone, you can do other stuff while you're listening to this podcast, why don't you click on YouTube, the YouTube app? Why don't you put in Soccer Cooligans and just hit that subscribe button? And if you can, hit that little bell, that notification, let you know every time we put up a video. We're working really hard to give you guys at least one video a week. We have a video right now that's called FIFA the News, that we're playing FIFA, and we're having that predict the biggest match, and we're talking about a lot of stuff that's happening on the news in the video, and there's a lot of cool editing that's involved. It takes a long time, but it's really, really funny.
Exactly. So look, we're doing a lot of work. We want just a little bit of validation. Just a little bit.
Is that hard? That's hard. Come on.
We're just two little comedians. Yeah. Want a little like?
Too poor. I would like some more, please. Some more followers and subscribers on our YouTube. So yeah, if you can, hit the like button, comment on some of the videos if you can. At the very minimum, hit the subscribe and maybe even share it with your friends. It would be absolutely amazing. Yeah, we're back, baby.
We're back, guys. And yeah, we were talking about New York against Orlando.
Yeah.
Just last week. And
is it a rivalry? I'm not so sure. It seems to be that way.
Maybe
if they could stop arresting some of our fans, that'd be kind of nice. Well,
NYCFC Orlando, I feel like, yeah, there's a budding rivalry there.
Yeah, it's certainly a chippy sure. Match.
At the very least,
it's not a derby. We know that for sure.
At the very least, there's a rap sheet between.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, here's the thing. We love all clubs and we love all MLS. And to give us a little bit more perspective on what's happening in Orlando, because even if you hate the club, you have to love what's happening over there, because it's absolutely very impressive.
Yeah, it's positive for the MLS, because it's a great, if this is the standard for future MLS teams and future MLS stadiums, we have something to look forward
to. Yeah, if this is what all expansion sides are going to look like, bring them all in. Let's get everyone in here.
Yeah.
Let's get Boise FC, who it doesn't matter if it's going to be like Orlando, because it's absolutely incredible. Well, to give us a little bit more insight from the Orlando Sentinel, let's bring in Alicia Rose Delgado.
Hey, Alicia.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Not bad at all.
Thank you so much for being on the show. Yeah, so we wanted to talk to you because Orlando's obviously got some buzz right now. It's hot.
Big time.
Yeah.
What's that? Did you just fall into a fax machine?
No, I'm sorry.
I think that's a Trader Joe's bag or something.
Yeah, yeah. It actually is Jimmy John's bag.
Okay. Jimmy John's. All right. Nope. Staying on brand. I like it. Are they a sponsor? Are they a potential shirt sponsor for the Pride?
No. Not yet.
Okay.
It should be there.
So you've been in Orlando for a long time. You know, how does it feel? How does it feel to have the entire city sort of looking, I don't know, just in love with the club?
Yeah, it's pretty incredible to have seen the growth over the past couple of years, and just the love of the team in general, and not even just the team, but the entire club. Orlando City, Orlando Pride, OCB, it's really turned into more of a community thing than I think a lot of people expected.
Yeah, it sort of seems like, you know, when I hear Orlando, I don't really think of soccer.
You think of Disney first.
I think of Disney.
And then maybe the Magic.
The Harry Potter ride, you know. Yeah.
Universal Studios.
Man, so, everybody loves that Harry Potter ride, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a big one.
Giles Barnes said that was his first goal when he moved here, was to go on the Harry Potter ride.
Okay.
Really? So now win a cup.
That's great. Yeah. But yeah, it is interesting because, you know, was this sort of, you know, this passion for soccer always there? You know, we're in New York. We don't have our finger on the pulse of every, you know, the soccer passion in every city. But was this something that was always kind of brewing, or was, you know, once Orlando City hit, or once Orlando got to the MLS, did it seem like everyone came out of the woodwork to support this team?
Definitely seemed like everyone came out of the woodwork.
That's amazing.
But I think that just under the surface, there was a lot of soccer fans in the city already, because it's such an international city, such a diverse city. The number one destination for Brazilians is Orlando. So I think there were a lot of soccer fans that didn't have an outlet already, and that kind of contributed to everybody coming out of the woodwork when Orlando City came.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people from England go to Orlando. I've spoken to a lot of people. I've performed out in England, and when you talk to them, they're like, "Have you ever been to Orlando?" I go there all the time, and I'm like, "No, I would have." You know, as New Yorkers, we typically go to Miami. You know, so Orlando didn't seem like a main destination for me. I'm not a big Disney guy or Orlando Studios or Universal Studios.
Alexis is not really.
Guys, got to stop talking about Disney. There's so much more than that.
Well, see, that's what we're getting at. Is that's why we're so surprised? It's not.
No, it's in Kissimmee or Lake Buena Vista. It's like a suburb.
Well, if you don't even know, and you live there, yeah, it's definitely not.
Yeah. It's so far.
Yeah, you know, there was a news story. I think it was on local news in Orlando about traveling supporters from England. There's an Orlando City supporters group in England, right?
Yeah, there's actually in a couple countries, and I know that even the Brazil Facebook page for Orlando City has like more followers than the regular Facebook page.
That's incredible.
Wild.
So yeah, it's definitely, I mean, the English connection comes from the founders and co-owner Phil Rollins and Kay Rollins from England, and then the majority owner and the CEO are from Brazil. So they started with a hefty base of lifetime, you know, soccer fans.
That's incredible. I mean, and the club's been playing well. You guys are in second place right now with what, two games in hand?
Yeah, you know? at least one or two in hand.
Yeah, I think Columbus has played six. You guys have played four. Mm-hmm. And that's, 10-9. And, you know, Atlanta, you know, another new club, although, yeah, certainly this year as opposed to last year for you guys, or 2 years ago, I should say. They've certainly looked incredible. Is there a bit of a rivalry with you and Atlanta? Is that something that's budding? It might be too far away, but you guys are close enough market-wise. Yeah.
I mean, it's not just the proximity that they're going to be the only regional rival, but there's also strong ties to Orlando City. Paul McDonough, the director of football operations for Atlanta, used to be Orlando City's GM. And, you know, Adrian Heath's son, Harrison Heath, is now with Atlanta. And they also took Mikey Ambrose in the expansion draft.
There you go.
There's a lot of connections between the two clubs regionally and on the field.
All right. So what have you heard about? So we're fans of Kyle Lahren. He's incredible. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's always humiliating NYCFC when he gets an opportunity.
And he does it while he looks like he doesn't even break a sweat. And it's really annoying, if I could be completely honest.
But he's obviously a very dominant player, and he's getting a lot of interest, from Europe and just a lot of different clubs.
But he's been kind of coy lately about it. In the past, he's always been, well, no, I'm happy to be here, so on and so forth. But I believe it was an interview he did with Taylor Twellman. He said, well, we'll see what happens. And he kind of had like a smirk on his face. Are you guys hearing anything?
When was that interview?
Uh-oh. Orlando Sentinel. I can hear the typewriters going in the background.
I did. No. I did an interview with him in January during the draft and combine. And
was that where they were like, it looked like you were guys in a booth or like a van kind of thing?
No, we had a room. They did like a round table and they brought Kyle in and nobody could hear him. So everybody stopped asking him questions. But I had a one-on-one set up with him afterwards and talked to him about all the transfer rumors. And Ben did a story that gained quite a bit of traction after, where he said, it's not the right time yet.
What does that mean? Because for he's what, 22, if I'm not mistaken?
21,
which, yeah. You know, for America, that's considered a rookie. Everywhere else in the world, you're not certainly, you know, at your peak. Your peak would be closer to 27. But at 21, I mean, you're starting to figure out whether you're first team or not. And I know, I think it was some Turkish clubs that had come after him. If I'm not mistaken, Porto had come after him. I'm sure he's happy to be in Orlando. Clearly, the club loves him and needs them. But for his future, is that something that he's considering? Is that something that maybe the Canadian national team is putting pressure on him? He keeps saying it's not the right time. What does that mean? Is he waiting for a specific club, or is he waiting to maybe attain bigger value for Orlando City?
I don't think it's, I think it's definitely bigger clubs. I don't think he has a specific club that he wants to, but he's not been shy about saying that he will play in the English Premier League one day. Like, that's his goal. He plans to be there. It's just a matter of when he's going to be there. So I think what that means is, you know, he was getting overseas interest before he even signed his Generation Adidas contract with MLS. And he made a decision and he made a commitment to stay here to develop. And he's in a pretty good spot to do it because they have really great facilities in Orlando. And he has mentioned time and again how much he's learned from Kaká. So if you want a mentor, you know, that's one of the best in the world to learn under.
Yeah, you could do much worse than Kaká for sure. FIFA yeah. World Player of the Year once, I think. Yeah, good job.
Yeah.
So
he knows about the interest. He's told me time and again that he just tries to not worry about it and let his agent deal with everything. He said that he got a few interesting offers and clubs talking to him in the off season, but nothing that really, really sparked his interest to say, okay, like, this is the one, this is the time, it's time to go.
Is it Arsenal? Just tell me it's Arsenal. Come on, Arsenal. We could use anything we can get at this point.
All right. So speaking of Kaká, any updates on, I know he had a hamstring injury. Any updates on, it was what, I think 4 to 6 weeks or something like that. Is there any progress on when he might be coming back?
Yeah, it was a 6 week recovery timeline. He's in week four, a little more. And so he was last week at training, he was running around doing laps around the field, doing some exercises on the side. I've been told that he's on track still, on that 6 week timeline track. Sometimes if there's a game like in that 6 week, they don't push it with him. So it could end up being, 7 weeks. But yeah, he seems to be on track, and he stayed in Orlando for his recovery rather than going to Brazil like he's done in the past.
Okay.
Nice. Okay.
It's interesting because after the injury, and it was early on in, it was the first match of the season, I believe. Right. There was a concern like, oh, this is going to be doom for Orlando, especially because they didn't make the playoffs last season. But it seems like, since Kaká's been gone, I don't know if that, kind of motivated all the other players, but they've been incredible. I mean, Orlando's not dominating offensively, but defensively, they look like a completely different team from last season. And obviously, the change with from Heath to Kreis, I'm sure had a big part to do with that.
Yeah, which is also shocking us because we're fans of Kreis's former team, and defensively was, I don't know how to explain it, but like, just imagine me at a gym. I'm a much bigger guy. Yeah, just a complete catastrophe.
So, what has changed as far as within the players to give them such a defensive edge? Because last match against the Red Bulls, they held a 1-0 lead. 1-0 lead. They've done that, I believe, twice. And they've been
That's
kind
a club that's easy to score. And yeah, so I guess, do they play better without Kaká, you think?
No.
Okay.
No.
I did ask a non-open-ended question, so I deserve that.
No, they don't play better without him, but I think they're able and have the determination and the depth and the mentality this season to win without him. But that doesn't mean that he's not needed. And when he's healthy, he's still a massive influence on the field. But what you're seeing this year defensively, I mean, Orlando City was a disaster on defense last year, complete disaster. 60 goals conceded, highest in the league. And that was with Joe Bendick, like, having a career year and winning save of the week every week, basically.
I think the back line was like, we're gonna get you a highlight, Joe.
Yeah, every we're week. Not even trying because you're doing such a good job. We don't even have to be out here.
Yeah. So basically, I mean, they brought in, it was a combination of a few things. Jason Kreis like saw that and it really worried with him. So in the off season, literally the entire focus of preseason was defense, defending as a whole, as the like all 11 players, defense. That was all they focused on. And then he brought in some key pieces, and one of those was Jonathan Spector. He's been huge.
He's been incredible.
And the leadership that he's brought has been even bigger than his on-field performance, because that was seriously lacking in the back line last year. And the back line last year was continually rotating all the time due to injuries, and no one was really performing that great, especially at center back. So there wasn't anyone really that could stand in the back line and say, like, I'm your guy.
Right.
And Jonathan Spector has done that.
Yeah, I mean, he's certainly solidified their back line, and their defending is out of this world. And again, New York Red Bulls are pretty easy about sort of getting around back lines, and they have players that can score at any point, and you held them back, which is not a bad thing at all. It certainly looks good for the future. And speaking for the future, there will come a time where Kaká won't be there, or even if he comes back, you guys still have other DP slots that are available. Are we hearing anything, rumors of other players coming in? If you were the manager, so you can answer that first, and then you can answer, if you were the manager, what position do you think needs to be filled? So we don't need specific names. If you'd like to give us, that'd be great, because you would know if anyone knows. But just specific positions that you think could use a bit more, world-class player or leadership.
Yeah, I think you're going to have to start looking in the attacking midfield and in the forward position to bring someone in because
are you saying Kyle Larin is getting sold to Real Madrid? Is that what you're saying? Here first?
I'm saying that after this season, both of those players, Kyle Larin and Ka, there's uncertainty surrounding their futures.
Sure. So, are you considering running for office at any point? Because I have a feeling you'd be really good.
Yeah, so those positions are a given. But actually, right now, all the DP slots are full right now for Orlando.
Oh, they are. And
I know, I heard you say, yeah. So you.
Oh, I was under the impression that you had a third one available. No, did Giles Barnes come in as one?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
He didn't come in as one immediately, but they made him one. They were discussing whether to use Tam on him or give him a DP slot, and they just gave him the DP slot.
Okay, but then they could still pay him down with that Tam because you guys have all that money from all that Tam. I don't know what it would be considered from the Molino sale. Was that a big loss? Was that a big loss for the club?
Yeah, I think it was a huge loss. He was prepared. They were prepared to use him. He was going to be a big part of the game this year. So some of the movement that you saw closer to the start of the season was because he left.
Right. Well, he ain't doing nothing in Minnesota, so you guys could probably have him back for cheap.
I mean, he's trying his best.
Oh,
I mean,
God. I'm sorry. Hold on. Let me rephrase it. He's the only one doing anything in Minnesota. Tough position for him.
Well, let's get into the NWSL season that's starting this weekend. So the Orlando Pride, obviously a huge signing that, was kind of almost historic to some degree. Marta from Brazil, which is
another Brazilian
on brand.
In.
Orlando knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
How has this sort of been received? How has it been covered? What's sort of the feeling in Orlando with Marta's arrival?
I mean, you can just imagine how it's been received. I don't know if there's any other way to receive it except for pure excitement from soccer fans. It's not often that you get a 5-time World Player of the Year on your team. And they worked really hard the CEO told me that he's been trying to get Marta here. It was his plan all along. When they brought the Pride, when they started the Pride, his plan all along was to bring Marta in. So it was just a matter of when and timing for her, and it worked out. So it's gotten huge coverage nationally, and fans are just, I know that the ticket sales, Pride ticket sales and jersey sales spiked immediately after the announcement.
That's great. Yeah. And Alex Morgan is coming back, correct?
She is. I verified that. That was the number one question everybody was asking. Like, are they preparing for a future without Alex Morgan? No, she's definitely coming back in the summer, and they think that it was really difficult for them to build a team around her. It was about finding the right pieces to support Alex, they said, and now with Marta and the other players that they brought in this year, they think they've done that, and when she gets back, her and Marta are just going to complement each other.
I mean, complement all / demolish every other team.
Yeah. I mean, this is going to be a highlight reel. If you're into women's soccer, that's the team to just pay whatever. Do you guys have like a streaming service where it's just your club?
Well, it's almost like this is a like a FIFA Ultimate Team when you you're trying to put these players together.
Is there any worry that maybe they won't complement each other? Because I know they're both focal points previously.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think it might take some time when she comes back, kind of see how they work best compared to how Marta was working on her own, but they also have some players in place. Kristen Edmonds really stepped up last year as the leading goal scorer for the team, and she received a national team call up like to camp in January. So I'm thinking maybe they try to use her as to kind of simulate Alex a little bit.
Okay.
And get that going. That could be an option. But yeah, Tom Sermani said he's really open and fluid in his thinking and what he's going to do with Marta. And he's going to sit down and talk to her and ask her what she thinks would be best as well, because with all her experience, she knows herself best, and they're going to work together.
That sounds like a, I mean, we're going to be looking forward to seeing it. I guess speaking of both the Pride and Orlando City, the fan base is probably one of the things I think has impressed the entire nation. You know, the two fill the bowl, you know, sort of projects or promotions, they worked really well. As many as a terrible name, by the way, and we joked about it, but it worked. Whatever, you got 60K, I think, in the old, what was that, the Sun Sentinel stadium?
Citrus Bowl, right?
Citrus Bowl. Right?
Are you talking about the terrible name of the stadium?
No, the Fill the Bowl Pro. It was like hashtag Fill the Bowl, which, you know, that sounds like someone who ate the fish taco at the wrong place. But, you know, but you got it. You got 60,000 fans in there.
I've never heard anyone say that did I ever think that?
Are you kidding me? You're not from Massachusetts then. Come on. That's not the first thing you thought when you heard Fill the Bowl?
It is not.
Okay, well, you're hanging out with the wrong people. You need some disgusting human beings around you, Alicia. Come on now. But you did it. And now we noticed that some of the matches at the new stadium haven't been completely full, and it's a smaller stadium. You're at what, 27K? I think is the
25.5.
There you go. So, you know, you filled 60K. Is this in a different location? What might be the reason why there was sort of a little bit of an attrition there?
It's in a different location, but not. It's basically three, four blocks away from the Citrus Bowl, closer to downtown. So I pretty similar for anyone going. I think so. The first two home games were completely packed. They were announced sellouts of 25,527. I don't know where those extra 27 people come from, but
I love when they do that. It's Fitz 30. There's 44,000 in there. What? Yeah. Are they in drones? How are they doing that?
Yeah. So they've announced that same number at the past two home games. And the first two home games were completely packed. It was obvious there were no seats available. But this last one, there were some empty seats. And what I'm thinking is so much of the stadium seating is season ticket holders, 18,000 of them. Okay. So if you have season ticket holders that don't show up and don't sell their tickets, you're going to have empty seats that just weren't available. So you could have a complete sellout still. And if a couple season ticket holders don't show up, you're going to see some gaps.
Yeah, sure. And do you guys have that ticket exchange program? Because I know NYCFC put in the same thing because the same thing was happening. Yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah, they do. But I had a friend trying to get last-minute tickets and said that there were absolutely none on StubHub close to the game start time. And I said that's impossible. There were so many empty seats. So I think just some people didn't show up and didn't post their tickets.
That's wild.
It's interesting. It almost seems like 25,000 is too... Seating is too small. Like it
guarantees you a sellout, though.
Sure. Yeah.
Smart move.
Well, it is because they averaged over 32,000 last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the tickets that are available, so you have 18,000 season ticket holders. You have at least 4,000, probably more, in the supporter section. That doesn't leave you many single game tickets to sell.
And how has the safe standing, has that been fine? Any incidents besides when NYCFC fans go down there? Are there any incidents with the safe standing? Because the whole world is watching.
No, there hasn't been anything so far. It's been great. All I know is that the purple smoke they're letting out was super thick in the opening match and completely like drowned Joe Bendik. You couldn't even see him at all.
Yeah,
that was actually pretty cool, though. I mean, you know, you watch some of these matches like in Turkey and you're like, well, I'm watching clouds because just like you don't know what's happening. But it was kind of cool to see that, especially for an American.
Is that a nebulous?
Yeah. That does not look safe, you know, and that stinks. Those smoke bombs stink, by the way. So, I mean, look, everyone loves what's going on. And, you know, we would love if you guys would start losing a bit more.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That would help us all out. Is there anything you want to plug? Is there anywhere where people can find you?
Yeah. So all my stuff every day, I go to training every day. I'm at Every Media Access. We get up about 2 to 3 stories and a lot of videos each day. So all of that is on OrlandoSentinel.com. And you could also follow me on Twitter at OSAliciaD. And I tweet out the majority of my stories there as well.
Awesome. Did I pronounce your last name correctly? It's Delgallo?
Kind of. Yeah, that works. Delgallo.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. If you were Latina, it'd be Del Gallo.
Yeah. We weren't sure.
But I'm not.
Yeah. There you go. So there you go. That's why I didn't say it that way. All right. Perfect. Well, listen, are you planning on coming up to New York anytime soon? Are you following the club when they go on away matches?
Yep. I'll be there for, what is it, the last weekend in April?
Ah, very cool. Well, hey, we got to get you on the show.
Yeah, we might bump into you. We'll be there as well.
We'll get in some of those Orlando Sentinel videos. Huh? I'm sure that's exactly what they want.
Facebook Live after every game, so you guys can guest star in that.
We'll have to come find you. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. Everyone check out Orlando Sentinel and go follow Alicia on Twitter, especially if you're an Orlando City fan. And I don't know how to say that in Brazilian to speak to all those Orlando City fans.
There's no such language as Brazilian.
You know what I mean? Portuguese. Obrigado, I guess is what I'm saying. Whatever. I'm an idiot. Thank you so much for being on with us.
Alicia, thank you again.
All right. Thanks for having me.
All right, guys. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Quick break here. I just want to tell you a little bit about On The Volley Apparel. You've heard it so many times. Some of you actually went out and bought some of the gear. It's absolutely incredible. Once again, my favorite hoodie I've ever had in my entire life.
Great gear. They make great stuff.
Absolutely. Big fan of the podcast as well.
Yeah, they make soccer-inspired clothing. Look, if you've heard us talk about it before, you've seen us wearing some of the clothing on our videos.
Yeah, we're always wearing it on the videos.
It's great stuff. It's urban inspired. It is hip hop.
It's a little hood. It's a little soccer, but it's all dope. Super high quality, very comfortable, and not very expensive. And it's even less expensive because you listen to us.
Exactly. So if you use the promo code Cooligans, you'll receive 30% off. That's
incredible.
That's a hot deal.
Come on now.
Hot deal. So make sure you use the promo code Cooligans. Look, they right before the MLS season, there's a lot of new apparel coming out.
Sure.
So you can check it out there.
And they got a whole bunch of new designs and stuff coming out. And again, get their hoodies, get their sweatshirts. They're incredibly comfortable. They got cool t-shirts. They got like 3/4 length sleeves. They even got stuff for the ladies.
They have stuff for actual gameplay.
Yeah, absolutely. So listen, if you didn't get something for your girl on Valentine's Day, hustle up, get something. You get yourself 30% off. Make her feel a little better at the end of the week when you get that shipment. And look what I got you. It's On The Volley. And like, yo, isn't this the same thing Alexis and Christian wear? And then you watching them when I'm not around? And then you can have an argument because how much the girl loves us.
You sort that out, right? Yeah. Because, I mean, obviously, we're not trying to ruin any relationships or marriages.
It's not our fault. We're too pretty.
But make sure, go to onthevalleyapparel.com, onthevalleyapparel.com, and use the promo code Cooligans, and you'll get 30% off.
So 30% off.
It's a great deal. So do that right now. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah,
that was cool. Wasn't that fun?
Right. We got a nice big podcast for you guys. So we got an interview. If you like what we're doing, let us know. You know, tell your friends. You heard about On The Volley and you heard about our YouTube. That would be great. And I know a lot of you guys have done this so far. You've left 5-star reviews for us. That's amazing. If you haven't already, if you're listening to this and you've not left a 5-star review, please do that.
iTunes.
Yeah, on iTunes. And say something nice. Put a little something nice in there.
Yeah.
You know? Give them a little squirt, squirt, bang, bang.
That's right. And, say... But leave 5-star, leave a nice review, and also be like, say hi to your mother for me.
Give him a little.
Say hi to the family.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, I think that'd be very nice of you to do. And don't forget, come to New York Fest.
That's right. April 23rd, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. We will be there all day.
A lot of surprise guests. Big names.
Surprise guests. There's going to be a lot of smack talk between the teams. We're going to be, we're going to just inciting up. We're going to incite a riot.
That's what we're here for. So come out to that. That's going to be dope. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Alexis Guerreros.
My name is Christian Polanco.
Together, what are we?
The Cooligans!